And if I have taken, he took, trust me. He's bent. I told you, the guy's bent, okay? If I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, well, that's what they did. Come on. I restore him fourfold. And I didn't look it up, but I've looked it up before. I didn't bring it with me, I mean. Do you know that's exactly what the law prescribes in Leviticus? It's exactly fourfold. If I've taken anything from any man, he's been hearing the word. The thing about Zacchaeus, he's the ground. The word has been sown. Say it another way, he's a hearer of the word. But the thing about Zacchaeus, he's a doer of the word that he heard. Only then, notice Jesus does not make this statement until Zacchaeus repents. Then, verse 9, and Jesus said unto him, not to them. Boy, it's a good day when Jesus says, hallelujah, to you. Yes. I'm so glad to be saved, you guys. I'm so aware of what it is to be lost. I know what it is to be lost. I'm so glad to be saved. So thankful. Don't ever let it become common to you. It is the pearl of great price. It's the treasure hidden in the field. Sell everything to have it. Don't let it go. Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. He didn't say new birth, did he? See, this is Old Testament salvation, but it's a type and a shadow of what came to us. This is the best that was available under the Old Covenant. But we have more under the New Covenant. Jesus literally comes into each and every one of our houses to cleanse the temple. But he doesn't stop there. Then he'll go right for the jugular. Whatever it is, with Zacchaeus, obviously it was the love of money. He was bent. So the Lord goes right for the number one thing. And Zacchaeus heard it. I see, you don't always just hear a voice. I'm trying to tarry here because when you get born again in Christ, you say, Jesus, however you were led, come into my heart. He does. And he comes with a vengeance. And he comes to be Lord. And you're not necessarily hearing a voice the way Zacchaeus heard his voice, but a conscience comes with that new nature. When Christ comes in, suddenly, it was okay to keep your thumb on the scale yesterday, cheat just a little bit on your taxes yesterday, lie just a little bit yesterday. But boy, when Jesus comes in the house, it isn't okay anymore. I still remember those first 2 weeks. Wasn't even filled with the Holy Ghost yet. It wasn't the Holy Ghost. It was that Christ in me. It was the new nature. Just that new nature. Christ, in, however that joining happens, Christ in me, man, I like to say it this way, there's a new sheriff in town. And he's come to run the bad guys out. Pornography had to go. Alcoholism had to go. Living my life for money had to go. Cussing had to go. That movie for sure has to go. Dirty jokes had to go. I'll never forget a barber shop I had been going to for years. Now, this is an old-time barber shop, not like whatever they have nowadays. They have girls in the barber shops now. Did y'all know that? No respecting man in my day would ever go into a place where there was a woman barber. It was all men. You know why? So they could tell their dirty jokes. After I got saved, I went to the same barber shop I had been going to for years. And I felt like running. Same stories I'd been hearing didn't mean a thing to me before. Probably laughed at them myself. And they're telling them dirty jokes. And I'm going, it's so foreign to me. It's only been like 2 weeks. I never was so glad to get out of any place in my life. I'm not against women barbers. I don't care, male or female barber. I don't care anymore. I'm just saying in my day, that was just unheard of. But okay. This day, this is all important. This day is salvation come to this house. Notice Jesus does not say that. He didn't say it. Oh, and this is important. Jesus did not say that when he went into the house. He did not say it when he spoke the word to Zacchaeus. He only said it after Zacchaeus repented and became a doer of the word. Man, that first 2 weeks that Sue and I got saved, that new sheriff in town, I thought I was going to be stark naked before. Everything was had to go. I mean, you know, he even took our music. Now, he doesn't always take that, but for us, music was an idol. It really was. He took it away, and we didn't have music in the house for 20 years. Didn't have nothing to play it on. I got rid of everything to play it on. Then later on, he let me have some of it back. Now I don't even listen to it. You know? Got bad company at home, I don't ever hear it. Anyway, most of you know that story. This day is salvation come to this house. Now look at how he says this. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Let's stop right there for a minute. What does he mean by that? Zacchaeus is a Jew. So he was born, descended from Abraham. You know, and a lot of the Jews, even to this day, they count on their physical lineage as salvation. Even Paul talked about that in Philippians. Circumcised on the eighth day, born a tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. You remember all of that? Keeping the law and everything. So he was a son of Abraham before this event. But Jesus didn't say he was saved before. In fact, he actually says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Zacchaeus was lost, even though he was physically descended from Abraham. So why does Jesus bring Abraham up? The thing about Abraham, it says Abraham believed God. And it was counted to him for righteousness. When God would speak to Abraham, Abraham would act. Abraham was a doer. Now, he didn't do it perfectly. He made a few mistakes along the way. But you go back and check for yourself. Every time God spoke to Abraham, he was not a hearer only. He was a doer of whatever God said to him. Now Zacchaeus is following in those same footsteps. I heard what you said to me, Lord, and I am going to do it. Jesus says, this day is salvation. Come to this house. Yes, sir. I'm going to prophesy to the end of my service a little bit. There's a lot of people in churches where Jesus has come in the house, where he's been dealing with them on serious killer sins, and they have not yet repented. So let's back up a little bit. What if Zacchaeus had heard the Lord, sat there, fellowshiped, heard what the Lord said, and at the end of the meal, opened the door, let Jesus out, and announced to everybody, I heard what the Lord said, but I'm choosing not to do it. Not doing nothing. I'm going to continue my corrupt business practices, and I'm keeping all my money, thank you very much. Let me ask you, would Jesus have said, this day salvation has come to this house? No, sir, he would not. See, we're going to come to it here in a little bit. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, I'm going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's only those that do the will of my Father. Well, the will of the Father is the Word. You're either going to become a doer of it or you're not going to make heaven. See how everybody shouts at once when I preach that? The church is full of unsaved people. It's full of ground where the seed has been sown and sown and sown and sown. But until repentance comes, and until you become a doer of the word, there's no life. We'll see that even more clearly as we go through here. So we're in Luke 19. Back up to Luke 13. Luke 13, verses 24. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. And when he says enter in, he's talking about the kingdom of God. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. Straight. This is, notice how it's spelled, S-T-R-A-I-T, not straight like S-T-R-A-I-G-H-T. Straight is like a string that's pulled tight. This is like a Strait of Gibraltar. It's like a strait in between two cliffs where a ship is trying to get through, and it's dangerous. It's narrow, and there's waves. And if you get too far to the left, too far to the right, you can have shipwreck. And it's difficult. Okay. Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me. Now notice, here's the crux of the matter. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. We've already established that Zacchaeus was a crooked businessman. He was a worker of iniquity. Yet Jesus came into his house because Zacchaeus was a seeker. All who seek, find. Jesus came into the house. They dined together. They fellowshiped together. Zacchaeus sat there and heard the word. He knew what to do. But notice, the seed is always perfect. Fruit is always based on the ground. Whether life ever comes out of that ground or not is up to the ground, not the seed. Got that? Zacchaeus had a choice. I've heard the word. Shall I continue my life of iniquity, my business practices of iniquity, because they've made me very rich? In this life, I'm doing well. Or do I listen to the word? Do I obey this Christ in my house? Do I obey him? No, I think I'm just going to... No, I heard what he said. Nice preaching, preacher. Thanks for coming. But I'm going to continue my iniquity business practice. What do you think on that day? Is Zacchaeus going to be able to go in? Don't everybody answer at once. No. No, he's not. He was lost before and he's still lost. Because he's not a doer of the word. Zacchaeus, let me read a little bit. Zacchaeus was a corrupt businessman. Jesus came into his house, the temple, and Zacchaeus heard the word. Thank God he repented. But what if he did not? What if he had heard the word and decided not to change his corrupt business practices? In that case, he would have been a hearer only and not a doer. He would have continued to be a worker of iniquity, and he would be rejected on Judgment Day. Now, all caps I wrote here, and I recently did a message by this title. There is no salvation without repentance. There isn't. You're just ground that the seed was sowed into. But until you act on that seed that was sown, you're still the same old ground you were before. You had no life before and you have no life now. Let's get a second witness. Go to Matthew 7. If you ever read the writings of Charles Finney, who was a preacher in the 1800s, his estimation in his day, he was an evangelist to the churches to try and get church people saved. Did you hear that? His estimate was not 10% in his generation were saved. Not 10% of people in the church were genuinely born again. That was his estimate. And he had quite a few fruitful years. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But now here it is again. Yes, sir. Now if it's there... I know I heard him. Yeah, there it is. He's right. Okay. See, I have the Bible in me, but I don't really have it in chapter and verse. I have it pretty good in sequence. But you tell me, what's in Luke 8? I may or may not be able to tell you. But he said, right, so as we're about to read this, I heard Luke 8. And I knew what he was I know what he's talking about. You'll see it here in a minute. So I'm going, God, I hope it's in Luke 8. Oh, no, I know what I'm doing. Anyway, Matthew 7, 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. He that doeth, if you underline, he that doeth, he that doeth, he that doeth. Zacchaeus diddeth. You got it? Zacchaeus made it. Salvation came to his house because he doeth. All right. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, here it is again, ye that work iniquity. There's a radical grace movement going around right now that's very popular. Some of the main proponents of it, the main preachers of it, have huge churches, 40,000, 50,000 members. And they'll tell people, all of your sins have already been forgiven, past, present, and future. Doesn't that sound right? Your flesh loves that gospel. And they don't really promote sin. They don't say you need to run out and fornicate or anything like that. But what they've done is they've removed all penalty for sin. To the point that if you do sin, they say, well, you're so forgiven, you don't even need to even tell the Father you're sorry or repent at all. Depart from me, all ye that work iniquity. See, when he says, I don't know you, now Jim is more the scholar than I am. Let's take Zacchaeus. In Luke, the way the Lord worded it, he says, I don't know you whence you are. I don't know you. I know you not whence you are. The reason he had me go to Luke 8 and read what we're about to, that know you, Jesus knows everything. It's not that kind of knowledge. What he's really talking about, and I can't prove, I'm not a Greek enough scholar, I'm not Greeky enough, but I just know from the context and the revelation, what he's saying is, you're not family. I don't know you in that sense. Yeah, but Jesus, you came into my house. Remember, Zacchaeus could have said, you came into my house. You had supper. We had beans and rice and pork chops. No, wouldn't it be pork chops? lamb chops. Beans, rice, and lamb chops. Okay. Lamb was okay, right? Okay. All right. Beans, rice, and lamb chops. I'm from Oklahoma. No, I'm looking at you. No, I don't see any family resemblance. No, I don't know you. I don't know you. And here's why I say that. Luke 8, where he told me to go, it's in there, thank God. And you know what? It comes right after the stony ground, right after the parable of the sower. Let's do it first and we'll back up. Luke 8, and the part that really goes along with, I know you not. You're not family. I don't have any kinship with you. Look, verse 19, Luke 8, 19. Then came to him his mother and his brethren and could not. They could not come at him for the press. Too many people. And it was told him by certain which said, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to see thee. Now here it is, verse 21. And he answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God. If you underline, and do it. And do it. That's how he knows you. His whole life was doing the will of God. I'm not here to do my own will. I'm here to do the will of my Father. He is the ultimate doer of the word. He is the word. Isn't that right? And look at this. Just back up to verse 10. That came right at the end of And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. They receive the word with joy. But these, they have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. I don't have time to go to the verse, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. See, Zacchaeus repented. You can tell he repented, right? Well, it's one thing to repent that year until he got his tax returns and he saw how much that decision cost him. Now, are you going to be faithful the next year? What about 5 years down the road and you watch your fortune diminish? You still going to be faithful to the word that you heard? If 5 years down the road you give it up, abandon this, go back to your old ways, you're still not going to make it. I prayed a salvation prayer when I was 5 years old. But I've lived like the devil ever since. It's not going to get you into heaven. And our churches are full of them. Okay? Verse 13 again. They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life. And notice, boy, if you bring no fruit to perfection. Can I say no life? No life at all. Thank God for verse 15. Zacchaeus was good ground. Thank God you're good ground. Now, yes, sir, I'll do that right now so I don't forget. Let me ask you this. After that one time of repentance, do you think Zacchaeus at that moment was a perfect man? I don't think so. It's a good thing we don't have his wife to interview here. But you want to find out about your... I'm not going to ask you to know about your strongholds. I'm going to ask your wife. Okay? And those that work with you and those that fellowship with you. You're the only one blind to your strongholds. Oh, anyway. I didn't say that out loud, did I? Including me. You know? See? No. But it was... you got to start. And as long as, this is what Dave was, he taught us this years ago, as long as you're sincere, and I don't mean, nobody's perfect on day one that I know of, but you got to start obeying him. When he said the pornography had to go, there was a struggle, but within a day, the pornography left. And there's a struggle and a struggle, but I got to tell you, I've been at this since 1980, and there's still stuff being pruned. But isn't that what he said? If you're bearing fruit, my Father will prune you that you'll bear more fruit. So it's a continual process of hearing, repenting, pruning, bearing more fruit. You grow a little bit more. Whoops. I love how Alan said that. Jesus, how did you get in that room? Was that perfect or what? We've got things on the inside of us. Even we don't go in there. I don't want you to know it. I don't want my wife to know it. I don't even want to know it myself. I shut the door to that room and put a big old 4x4 across it many years ago. And all of a sudden, Jesus says, what about that room? When that happens, I already know you've been praying in tongues. It's the Holy Ghost that goes in there. Remember Dave teaching us all those years ago, you know, you praying in tongues. You think you're just fine. Hey, I don't watch pornography no more. I don't do this anymore. I don't do that anymore. And I'm just, me and Jesus, we're good. And you're praying in tongues. Shandala mahanda, you know. And I tie my bow tie. And you do, how's that? Shaka, shaka, shaka. And, you know. And then all of a sudden, this room, this door to this room is wide open. Dave would say, all of a sudden, the trap door flies open, and there's a candle in that attic. And it's filled with dirt, talking about your own soul, you. And the first, usually we go, look at all the dirt this light brought. Yeah. The light didn't bring the dirt, honey. That dirt has been there all the time. The light has exposed the dirt. Now, if you'll continue, the new sheriff in town is going to help you cleanse that room. See? You know, he didn't want us to have locked rooms. Jesus, how did you get in there? You've been praying in tongues, you rascal. That's how you got in there. Is that not good stuff or what? But see, they bring no fruit. But look, verse 15, this is you on the good ground. See, Zacchaeus is good ground. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, like Zacchaeus, keep it. In today's language, we'd say they do it. Keep it doesn't mean to keep it in a jar on a shelf. No, I heard the word and I do it. And bring forth fruit with patience. Now, our English word for patience does not really mean the same thing as that Greek word translated patience there. If you want to know what that word is, it's endurance. And if you want to know what that means, read the prophecy in the foyer on your way out. Endurance is the key. All right. Now, quickly, go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. These next scriptures I'm about to get you have got to become foundational in your life, and they have to become foundational in every person you ever lead to Christ. Because there is so much false teaching about what the grace of God is. Bronk, would you do me a big favor? Callie's song, same one you sang. Would you sing it again? Well, it's either you sing it or me sing it. Do you love these people?
Yes, I
do. Or you sing it.
You're gonna know who loved Jesus after a while. You're gonna know who loved Jesus after a while. You can call on the name of the Lord, but that don't mean that you're his child. You're gonna know who loved Jesus after a while.
I shall not be jealous, I shall not be jealous, I shall not be jealous. I pray for my brother, I pray for my brother. Is that good or what? You're going to know who loves Jesus. Because you know what he said? I didn't bring that verse either, it's John 15. Those that love me, they keep my commandments. Said another way, those that love me, they do the word. Then just to make sure we get it, those that love me not, keepeth not my sayings. You're going to know who loves Jesus after a while. 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. See, the Lord knoweth them that are his. The Lord, and that's what he meant. I don't know you. You're not a doer of the word. You're not my family. My family are those that hear the word and do it. The Lord knows them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Big old letters, if you write in your Bible, repent. Repent. Titus, go to Titus now, chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. This is the best definition of grace I have found in the Bible. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. This is the grace of God, nothing else is. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation. Does anybody want any other kind? I don't want any other kind of grace except the kind that brings salvation. This is it. This is the definition. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. He's talking about Jesus. teaching us. See, the grace of God, that new nature on the inside of you, Christ in your house teaches you. He teaches you that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now, the grace of God is this. He's not asking you to do it in your own strength. That's the whole point of the new covenant. He has come to strengthen you with His strength. Ephesians 6 says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put your hand on your heart. I am the temple of God. Christ dwells in me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say it. I am strong in the Lord. And in the power of His might, through this new man, I keep my body under. I take dominion over my body. I present my body holy unto the Lord. And that is my reasonable worship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Starts right there now. Starts right there. The only path of safety is to be a doer of the word. It's the only path of safety. I'm trying to quit. Go to Matthew 7 again. Because right after he said what he said, what we read earlier, depart from me, all ye that work iniquity. Well, how would we do that, Lord? How would we do that? I don't want to hear you say, depart from me. How would I do that, Lord? Depart from iniquity. It's a great revelation. Verse 24 comes after verse 23. The very next thing he says, therefore, in other words, based on what I just said, whosoever, I still hear pages, Matthew 7:24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, if you underline, and doeth them, I'll liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Now stop for a moment. We teach this a lot of times, and it's not wrong to teach it this way. It's a fruit of it. The storms of life come to everybody. Doing the word will get you through those storms. That's a fruit. That is true. There's nothing wrong with teaching that. That is not the subject matter here. The subject matter here is, are you going to wind up in heaven or are you going to wind up in hell? He is talking about your eternal life. He just got through saying that it's judgment time. Lord, Lord, let us into the kingdom. Let us in, Lord. I don't know you. The ones I know, my family, are those that hear the word of God and do it. And those that do, man, they have built their life on a rock. It's not Jesus. It's the rock of doing His word. Doing His sayings. He said that is the only place of security. And there's lots of hearers. See, he continues, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, it's not that they weren't in church. Can I say it that way? It's not that they never heard the word. They heard the word. They heard it. But they chose not to do it. God's never going to take away your free will. If he was ever going to slap anybody down, he would have slapped Adam on the way to eat that fruit of the tree. If he didn't slap him down, he's not slapping anybody else down. But if they choose not to do it, it's not that they didn't hear it, but they didn't do it. I shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell. And great was the fall of it. In this illustration in today's lesson, I'm going to say it one more time. Jesus is the word. Zacchaeus is the ground. It's up to the ground what happens. God does not take away our free will. It was completely up to Zacchaeus whether he would obey Jesus or refuse Jesus. Many people ask Jesus into their heart, and I'm all about that. That's good. And I'm telling you right now, if you ask him into your heart, he's coming. But he'll come in strong. He'll come in, and you may not hear a voice. That conscience communicates perfectly. And you know what he's saying. You either choose to obey or you choose not to. Now, I'm the poster boy for even if you disobey, even if you run off and never going to enter church again, even if you backslide to the point the life you once had, that candle went out. As long as there's life, there's hope. See, that door is not shut. That door is not shut until the day you die. I've done quite a few funerals in my life. And I've learned one thing to say to them. There are no unbelievers beyond the grave. They know the truth then, whether they're in heaven or hell. But it's too late then. The door has been shut. The door's been shut then. It's too late. But until then, the promise of Jesus, everyone that asks receives. Everyone that seeks finds. Everyone that knocks, the door will be open. I don't care if you're a backslider. I don't care if you're an atheist. I don't care if you've had abortions. I don't care if you committed murder. I don't care what it is. There's salvation for you. But you've got to ask Jesus into your house. He will forgive you and he will cleanse the temple. And if you'll do what he says, you'll build your house on the rock. And on that day he says, I know you. Come right on in. Come right on in. Come right on into the kingdom. I know you. I'm getting the white hanky now. I know I'm doing good now. Hallelujah. Man, you get the white hanky, you're doing good. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, somebody, just bow your head for a moment. You may be in this room. I don't know. You may be watching, and I don't care if it's 10 years from now. Listen, God's word is alive. He's after you. If you're in this room and you're backslidden, I don't mean perfect. But I mean, you've backslidden into the world too much and you know it. He will receive you today. Just repent. Say, Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for what I've done. I repent, Lord. I know I've got to quit that and I know I've got to stop that over there. And same with you out there. Listen, I don't care. If there's anything drawing you right now, you know what that tells me? You are not a reprobate. There's still something in you seeking after God. And he will receive you today. Everyone just repeat after me. Say, Lord, I know I'm not perfect. I know I have not fully obeyed you. But you are my Lord. And I commit afresh this day. Lord, speak to me. Whatever you say, I'm going to do that. And I know, Lord, I'm strong in you and in the power of your might. You are my strength. You are my rock. You are my salvation. And I'm trusting you to help me. But as for me, from this day forward, I am a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Welcome back in fellowship with God. Welcome back. Same with you. Hallelujah. Just listening. Someone in here has been battling suicide. You may not know this. I'll just tell you. My own sister committed suicide over 40 years ago. And there's a spirit, that same spirit that took her out. I've had to battle it most of my life. And I have seasons where it's better, and then I think he goes and gets 7 more wicked. But all I know is, you have to battle that thing. Listen, I've been winning against it a long time. If that's you, I don't want to embarrass you. Yes, sir. No, I hear him saying that they won't. They're too hurt. So just lift your hand with me. You don't have to say anything. Just be in agreement. I break the power of that demonic spirit over your life right now. In Jesus' name, I break you. You go now in Jesus' name. Take your hands off of God's property right now. I command you to leave and not return again in the name of Jesus. Now let me counsel you. And the same if you're watching or listening. Listen, fill your house with praise. Fill your house with praise. Devils can't stand worship. They can't stand praise. I don't mean your physical house. It's okay to do that. I'm talking about the house you live in. Fill your house with worship and praise. You will still the avenger. You will still the enemy. That message of Jim's really was a jewel. Now, fill yourself with worship and praise. They hate it. You want to keep them at bay? Be a worshiper of God. Hallelujah.